Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, also an author as well of the books Father of Mine and Son of Mine, which you can find on Amazon eBooks, only 99 cents each. They're good reads for the summertime. Mike Florio joins us right now. Mike, thank you very much.
Hey, guys, how are you today?
We're doing wonderful. Okay, this is, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I know that you are. You have dealt in litigation. Tell me about this whole investigation and why it was kept secret for so long, and how did you uncover it between the NFL, this lawsuit with the NFL and the NFLPA and everything going on?
Well, I didn't uncover it. Pablo Torre is the one who got the 61-page document that is a ruling in a collusion grievance that was sparked by, initially, the 5-year fully guaranteed contract given to Deshaun Watson. I'll talk about that more in a second, but this is a process that's available under the collective bargaining agreement. Whenever players have a beef, they have to use the processes in the CBA. And what happened was, after the Watson deal, within days, there was an annual meeting in Florida during which, and this was the finding in the collusion grievance, the NFL's management council, which essentially, I mean, the league would say, suggests and encourages what teams should do. Others would say tells teams what to do. But the management council said, you better restrict the guarantees in future contracts. And that was determined to be accurate. The NFL won because the arbitrator believed when the owners all said, oh, we didn't do what they told us to do, which I find to be hard to believe. So the league won, but included in that decision was a finding that the league tried to collude, and it all got buried for more than 5 months. I've known about it, and look, Pablo found it, but one of the reasons I think Pablo was even looking for it is because I've been screaming, someone needs to get this, someone needs to get this, let's just not be distracted by the next bright, shiny object the NFL dangles in our face. We can't forget about this, let's get it. So, you know, the question of why, I don't know, especially from the perspective of the union, because this is something the union should be using as a massive hammer against the league moving forward, because they finally caught them with their hand at the bottom of the cookie jar.
How do you think, Mike, the union could have better proven the collusion by the league during this litigation?
Well, I think the union did prove it. See, I think the arbitrator got it wrong. And this is the problem of having a case that's handled by one person. I believe in the jury system because I believe the collective wisdom of a jury, how imperfect it may be, and different juries will come to different conclusions under the same facts and arguments. But there is something about having that collective common sense look at a situation and having the ability to argue in very basic human terms. Lawyers get so caught up in the legality and specifics and what it takes to prove a case. And it's like a maze, and we got to go from here to here to here to here. Let's just apply common sense to this. You have a management council. Why do you even have a management council? Do all of the fast food chains out there have a league that they belong to, that has a management council that tells them what to pay their employees or even advises them what to do? It's ludicrous to think that there's even any type of coordination. The mere fact that they have a management council to me is evidence of coordination, which is a different way of saying collusion. So I think they did prove it. And as the arbitrator goes through and cites specific pieces of evidence, for example, when the Cardinals signed Kyler Murray to a not fully guaranteed contract, the owner of the Chargers congratulated the owner of the Cardinals, and the owner of the Chargers said, it's going to help with our quarterback. And that's coordination. You don't see that in other businesses. So they are coordinating, they are colluding, and the arbitrator got it wrong. So I don't think the NFLPA made any missteps in the presentation of the case. I just think that the arbitrator was bound and determined to believe the owners. And we know what happens. This is human nature. You get your hand caught in the cookie jar, you say, I'm not eating cookies. What are you talking about? In this case, The hand's in the cookie jar, the crumbs are on the shirt, the cookies are in the mouth, and the owner said, we're not eating cookies. And the arbitrator said, well, that's good enough for me, you're not eating cookies.
See, it's weird. Mike Florio joining us on the show. Like, I have to step away from my own cynicism for a second, because when I see the back and forth, and it's a quick snippet that I saw between Dean Spanos and Michael Bidwell, I'm like, yeah, I'm not surprised. It's like, well, no, that's the incriminating
that's
part
what
of
they
all
do. This. Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'll put it this way. I made this point yesterday. Do you think that the CEO of Coke calls up the CEO of Pepsi and they talk about what they're paying their key employees? Do you think they do? True competitors. And that's where I think people become numb to what's happening here.
Yeah.
These are 32 independent businesses that are supposed to be in full competition on everything. There are 32 independent businesses that get a limited antitrust exemption by virtue of the fact that they have what's called a multi-employer bargaining unit. So they can, as to their workforce, as to their players, they can have rules regarding how they move from team to team, free agency, franchise tag, draft. All that stuff would be an antitrust violation without the multi-employer bargaining unit, because these are 32 independent businesses. There was a case that was resolved by the Supreme Court in 2010. It's called the American Needle case. That's the case that made it completely and entirely clear that even though these 32 teams are within a league, they are independent businesses and they cannot act together. And that's what this is evidence of. But you're right, we're numb to the fact that they do it because we just expect them to do it. The collusion has been hiding in plain sight for decades. And I don't know whether we just have decided it's okay, but that seems to be what the arbitrator decided.
Mike, and this is going to be real galaxy brain, but here we go. Can the rest of the NFL owners then, because I know they were upset in 2022. You were on with us. You said it. Can the rest of the owners then maybe thank the Browns for helping them prove against antitrust where they went rogue and offered up a fully guaranteed contract?
Well, no, the whole thing happened because of Watson. And, you know, the fact that they did the Watson deal in and of itself would be proof against collusion, because in theory, the Browns would have checked with the league before they did it, and the league would have said, man, you probably shouldn't do it, and the Browns wouldn't have done it. But, you know, the Watson thing was key because, and I remember having this curiosity in the aftermath of the Watson deal. Where does it go from here? Is this the first domino in what ultimately will become a chain of fully guaranteed quarterback contracts? And then once starting quarterbacks start getting fully guaranteed contracts, will other players get fully guaranteed contracts? And how far will this go? And that's why it was so important for the league to hold the rope right after the Watson deal. And that's what happened with the three quarterbacks who were the centerpiece of this case. First, it was Kyler Murray. Then it was Russell Wilson. Then it was Lamar Jackson. By the time those three quarterbacks didn't get fully guaranteed contracts, it was easier to say, oh, the Watson deal was an aberration, not the start of a trend. The union was trying to make it the start of a trend. That's what this case is all about, changing the status quo as it relates to whether or not starting quarterbacks were going to get fully guaranteed deals.
Do you think if Deshaun Watson would have been good on the Browns that we would be having a different conversation about quarterbacks getting fully guaranteed contracts?
Yes, absolutely. The guys who have gotten the fully guaranteed contract, and Watson's the only one that's gotten a 5-year, but how you play will validate whether or not you were worth it. And if Watson had played like Lamar Jackson has played, then okay, hey, the best quarterback should be getting fully guaranteed contracts. And I had somebody tell me years ago, and I still think this is accurate, true franchise quarterbacks, because when you're a true franchise quarterback, I mean, Watson's the exception because he was, but then wrenches were thrown into the gears and now he's not. But, you know, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allen's of the world, they always stay good. You don't need a fully guaranteed contract for a true franchise quarterback because that guy's never getting cut. But, you know, two of the names in this case, Deshaun Watson and then Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson testified in the grievance. He thought he was getting a 7-year, $50 million a year fully guaranteed contract when the Broncos first traded for him. And at some point between the trade and just, you know, not long after that, the hey owners watch it with the fully guaranteed deals, he didn't get it. He still got a lot, and the Broncos ended up regretting it. And their owner at one point said, why are we doing anything? He's got 2 years left on his contract. And in hindsight, They shouldn't have given him that contract until they realized he wasn't the guy they needed. But you got two guys with massive guarantees that didn't live up to it. That usually doesn't happen with franchise quarterbacks.
Mike Florio, he has two books on Amazon eBooks right now. Father of Mine and Son of Mine. Pick those up on Amazon, only 99 cents each going on right now. You hear him on Pro Football Talk. You see him on Pro Football Talk. You watch him on Football Night in America. So J.C. Treader, his role in all this is... I just want to know why he decided to cover it up, just because he didn't want people to think he said bad things about Russell Wilson when playing. I don't know the other thing that Pablo didn't say, so I'm not gonna say anything about that. I have no idea what he said he was going to leave out of that. But like the other word, like, okay, calling Russell a wuss. All right, there's been plenty of radio dummies who have said a lot of nasty things about Russell Wilson over the last 15 years or so. I don't know if it's that big of a deal. I just don't know why he felt that needed to be, quote-unquote, covered up.
Well, and let me give you the background on this, because I've been chasing this thing on and off for the past 5 months, ever since I became aware of it, because I was following the case. And I kept checking with people, hey, is the decision coming? When's the decision coming? Oh, if we got a decision. Oh, well, okay, send me the decision. I can't. Well, what do you mean you can't? What are you talking about? Why is the decision not out there? And along the way, I learned that one of the theories for the reason the union hit it was because there is reference in the agreement to things J.C. Treader said about Russell Wilson when he failed to get a fully guaranteed contract, when he agreed to a deal that wasn't fully guaranteed. And we've done reporting, both Pablo and I, on what was said and how it was said. And the best – look, there's no reason objectively why the union should hide this. Even though they lost, they won. It's a landmark ruling that the league tried to collude, and it could have been the starting point for other claims by other players who maybe could prove that, as to them, there are smoking gun text messages. So, yes, the belief is the J.C. Treader, and this is just the belief, this is the theory, and Pablo reported on this, that this is the thought within the union. J.C. Treader went from president of the union to not president because his playing career ended, to being hired into a job that never existed before by the new executive director, Lloyd Howell. He's the chief strategy officer, Treader is now, to having designs on replacing Howell whenever Howell's run ends. So if you're on the record as disparaging members of the union, that becomes fodder against you when it's time to decide whether or not you should be the guy ultimately in charge of the interests of all players. And it's that simple. And an item I wrote just before we started this, you know, the NFLPA may have some legal exposure to players for a variety of reasons, one of which is by hiding this thing for more than 5 months, there's a 50-day window for filing non-injury grievances under the collective bargaining agreement. Anybody else that would have read this, any other player that would have read this and tried to use it as a starting point for their own grievance, the NFLPA may have short-circuited the whole thing by hiding it longer than the 50 days they would have had to file their grievance.
So I can't sit there and say the name calling's great, but it's like, man, you didn't want it to get out there that you're basically, isn't he trying to do the right thing with wanting people to take guaranteed contracts and setting it up for guaranteed contracts?
It's stupid. Yeah. You're right. Your instincts are right. Like, who cares if you called him a wuss? Yeah. Who cares if you said he could have been the guy who got guaranteed contracts for everyone, and instead he's the guy who blew it for everyone? Who cares if he said that, right?
Yeah.
That's the normal, I think, reaction. And it makes me wonder whether there were a combination of factors. Another explanation is this. Lloyd Howell, the current executive director, has sold himself on the idea that Demoris Smith, the prior executive director, was all about litigation and fighting. And Lloyd Howell is going to be all about conciliation, compromise, and negotiation. So when the last fight that D. Smith picked ended up being a winner, well, we better not acknowledge that, because it's going to make it look like D's way is a better way. And let me tell you very briefly why D's way is a better way. When you are operating in a labor environment where the owners will at any time use the nuclear option and shut down the entire season, shut down football for a whole year if they need to get what they want, and the players won't miss a game check, you need to use anything else in your arsenal. You need to use litigation. You need to use PR pressure. You need to use, you know, I'm going to take this ruling to the Department of Justice's antitrust division and have them look at it and have them explore the other ways that the NFL colludes as the coaches or others who aren't within this union. And if you just stuff the thing in a drawer, you're not helping your rank and file membership get the most out of it. But the thinking is Lloyd Howell didn't want to credit D'Amore Smith's way of doing things by acknowledging that he got a huge win on the way out the door.
Hey, real quick, Mike, I know that this is small potatoes in the grand scheme of things. I have to ask, though, I don't know when the next time we're going to get you. You're busy. Kenny Pickett, you think he's going to be traded?
Well, and look, one of the benefits of doing this for a really long time is you've seen it all. You understand patterns. You realize when things are out there that, you know, it's not always what it seems. As this collusion grievance and everything we've been talking about shows, things are never what they seem. Sometimes they are coincidentally. But as it relates to Pickett, the thing that did it for me, because I'll give you the simple explanation first. You got four guys. How are you gonna properly get four guys ready? How are you gonna get four guys ready for the season? And you got two of them that are rookies. They need their reps. So between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, one of them needs to go before training camp opens. Now that's how a normally functioning football team would operate. With the Browns, you can never account for that because it's like they try to come up with new ways to be dysfunctional. And the dysfunctional thing to do is take all four guys to camp. I saw Mary Kay Cabot's report from a week or so ago that the Browns may keep all four into the regular season and beyond the trade deadline. And that to me was, somebody's trying to get the folks out there who might be thinking about trying to trade for Pickett to realize you're not going to get him for peanuts. We're not going to cut him if we can't trade him. We'll take him to camp. We'll take him into the regular season. We'll take him past the trade deadline. And again, 25 years of doing this, I see that, and I think somebody from the Browns is trying to generate some trade leverage before they would try to move Kenny Pickett, unless they're going to do the dysfunctional thing and take four guys to camp. And then how are you going to get four guys ready for week one? And before you can't burn four roster spots on a 53-man roster on quarterbacks. You need those spots for other players. But again, as Juju Smith-Schuster once said, the Browns is the Browns.
Oh my, come on now.
But guys, you know it.
I gotta tell you
things that are like, what the hell are they doing and why are they doing it?
Listen,
it's the Browns.
I'll tell you this, though. When it's a 53-man roster and plenty of people are picking them to win, what, under five games?
Yeah, four and a half, five.
And I'm sitting there, Mike, going, well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, to a fan, to a Browns fan who's watching things from 30,000 feet, and any general manager is going to get fired, it's like, yeah, carry four quarterbacks into the regular season. Let's let them all play.
And guys, when you subordinate winning to let's get the most we can for the guy that we traded Dorian Thompson-Robinson for as the placeholder while we figured out what the hell we're going to do at quarterback before we signed Joe Flacco and drafted not one but two quarterbacks. I mean, if that's the game, if the game isn't win football games, if the game is maximize our assets for the future, which they did. This is why it wouldn't surprise me if the Browns do it. Other teams, it would. The Browns had that plan back. Remember, I don't know how much you guys delved into this, but they had that plan back in 2016, 17, 18 time frame.
Yes.
That gave bonuses based upon draft picks that were stockpiled and cap space that was carried over, which was basically a roundabout way of tanking. And the NFL ended up rubber stamping it as legitimate. And so anytime you put winning behind other things.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Things, you develop a culture that isn't fundamentally and ultimately about winning. That's the problem.
Yeah, we lived it.
And so if the Browns aren't trying to win this year, fine. Carry five quarterbacks. And that's the other thing, too. Wait till Deshaun Watson shows up with a clean bill of health and says, hey, I'm ready to play.
Mike, come on now.
What?
Of all the things that you've said, that is the most upsetting.
Okay. All right. Just wait. Just wait.
Mike Florio is always giving us something to talk about.
Play me. I'm ready. I'm ready to earn my money.
Like, we're not.
I'm ready to earn a new fully guaranteed contract.
You're trolling me now. Okay. Man, I wish I was talking to Pony right now. All right. Mike, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
See you guys.
Yes, sir. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Again, find his books on Amazon, ebooks, 99 cents each, Father of Mine, Son of Mine. Can you believe he used that analogy as well during that interview about fast food owners? I'm going, oh my God. That was Mike Florio with us just moments ago. Pro Football Talk, Football Night in America. He's a bulldog. I know what he said about the quarterbacks. We'll get to those here in just a moment.
I
don't understand this whole thing. This is what happens when it's like when you actually have power. Like this is, you can say whatever you want to about guys behind a microphone. This is influence. Danny Cunningham's in for Lima today. Jason's in tomorrow. Daryl's in on Friday. There's influence here, but there's no actual power. When you actually have power, yeah, like I know. You called Russell Wilson a wuss. I don't know what else you called him. I'm not going to, when you're in that position, probably name calling isn't the best thing. But everybody in the world knows you're frustrated. And I think if I play defensive tackle for the Seattle Seahawks and I see that, and I just, if it just comes out when it comes out, and there's no attempt to cover up to discredit DeMaurice Smith or any of that other stuff, which is just dumb. It's just dumb. But when you do that to cover it up, it's just pointless because if I'm Kenny Carmen and I'm the guard for the Seattle Seahawks or whatever, I'm looking at it going, yeah, damn straight. We want guaranteed money. I want everything I could possibly get guaranteed because it's all silly anyway. Well, Myles Garrett has a $160 million contract. No, he has $123 million. He is not probably going to see that other whatever millions of dollars that he's entitled to there courtesy of that contract, some $37 million. That ain't going to happen. And so you want to fight for every single penny that you get. And it's lousy to me. And I like JC personally. It sucks to say that. It was a huge mistake. You're thinking about your own future. You're thinking about keeping yourself in power for the future of it. You're a former NFL player. You're a former NFL PA president. You went to Cornell for crying out loud. You'd have been just fine. Yeah, you called him a wuss. You'd have been just fine. It's, you don't see the forest for the trees, man. And you got to see it. And the whole stuff about, well, we don't want guys who fight with the NFLPA. Man, the NFL Players Association, they need a fighter. You might not want DeMaurice Smith on that wall, but man, you need him on that wall because they don't have anything. Their season isn't 9 months long like Major League Baseball or basketball or hockey. You only get so many game checks, and then that's it. I know you get other little bonuses here and there, but you only get so many game checks, and you need somebody to fight for it because they need to use every single recourse they have other than the owner shutting down the season. The owners certainly don't want to shut down the season. It's less and less likely because, you know, we have television deals that we have now, right, and billions of dollars, yes, being paid out. But my God, you need a guy to fight. And I didn't agree with everything DeMaurice Smith has done, but my God, he was a fighter. They need a fighter more than any of the other players' associations. They have the least money. They have the shortest season. They have the fewest checks
and
that actually roll in.
They play the most dangerous game,
and they
too.
play a very physical game, yes.
That I think really makes them look bad is we can talk about the physicality of basketball and Owen can yell about the Cavs not being tough enough, but that sport is not as physical or as tough as football. Baseball certainly, like, it's a grind, but it's not the same. The careers are shorter. The game checks are shorter. That is part of the reason why the owners have the power of, we'll just shut down the season, because every day that passes in the NFL more than any other sport is one less day of your career.
And what he's saying in so many ways, and I've disagreed with Mike Florio a time or two, and I did not like what I heard about what he said about the quarterbacks, which I'm sure we'll get into at 9:45. What he's saying is that, yeah, I should be upset about a text exchange between Dean Spanos and Michael Bidwell.
Yeah.
Because that does, even though I assume that, hey, they're the franchise owners, I made the analogy earlier today, and he actually used one like it. I said, if Owen, me, and Danny were all franchisees of Burger Chef, I'd use one that ain't around anymore, and we all had a Burger Chef, yeah, we're probably going to start sharing opinions and ideas of it. We all know this. We're not supposed to want to. You're not supposed to do that, but you're under the same umbrella because it's not
It's supposed to be a competitive business. It's supposed to be, we're out for it. And if you want to look at it, see, this is where the Browns are this wild organization. Because, you know, Mike highlights 2016 and 17. It is an organization that, yes, punted on 2 years, and they've been open about it, punted on 2 years for the future.
Yes.
It's also the same organization that traded away 3 first-round picks and gave the only guaranteed contract, fully guaranteed contract for a quarterback, who has ended up being a total disaster.
They are the wild card organization in the NFL?
It is. It's from one extreme to another. And this is where I just don't want them to go to the other extreme. So when we're looking for, when it comes to actual football being played out there in the field, like, it sucks because I go, yeah, we shouldn't act so surprised. You can be frustrated and outraged. We shouldn't be so surprised that, yeah, the owners talk to each other and they definitely want to keep it all down. That should be a problem. But it's also something where when it comes to actual football being played, again, what's the identity of the 2025 Cleveland Browns? Are they a team that's getting ready for 2026? A lot of moves say, yeah, you nodded your head.
They are.
Why did you give Myles Garrett all the money?
Because you want Myles Garrett to be in the Browns in 2026.
It doesn't matter about that, though. If you really think you're going to be that much better that soon?
That's why you did it, because you want this to be a quick turnaround. You want Myles Garrett to still be in his prime during this turnaround. That's why they did it.
32, 33, 34 years old.
He's not going to be 33 next year.
That's not the end of the prime. Or that's not the prime. That's the end of the prime. I know, that's being nice about it.
They think they can have this turned around by 2026. Myles Garrett's still in his prime. I think it's fair to say we expect Myles Garrett to be really, really good this season and next season. I don't expect the drop-off to happen that quick.
That's true.
That soon.
But do you expect the rebuild to happen that quick?
I don't, but the Browns probably believe it can.
Okay.
I don't believe it. I don't believe very much in this organization right now, but they believe in themselves.
Because if you're trying to win right now, call it what it was. You're taking Travis Hunter. You're putting him as a wide receiver for... say whatever you want to about us. We got to go back to April, not what's going on during OTAs, for crying out loud, and what the aggregation Twitter councils ever put out there, okay? Lord. You're taking Travis Hunter, and you're going, okay, he's going to play with Joe Flacco. And it's going to be Travis Hunter on one side, Jerry Jeudy on the other. We'll burn him. You couldn't have got Quinshon Judkins, but you could have got Harold Fannin. You could have got other guys. Let's see if we could burn him on one side or the other. They are trying to win now. But you didn't do that. You got a first round pick, which was a haul. And looking for a quarterback at some point, yeah, I would say it would be to next year. But if you're all in on winning, you don't make that trade. But again, every other move they make has been contradictory to what their plan would be. What you even feel, like, there's plenty of people who feel, Ken, this season, already it's house money, it's whatever, just get the 2026 and figure it out, Kenny.
Yeah.
And then there's guys like me going, well, wait a minute. They're telling you not to wait until 2026, so I got to hold them accountable for something. I just can't sit there and go, hey, it's another year that we're just going to throw out the window here and it doesn't matter and nobody needs to account for anything. Like, that's insane.
It depends what you think throwing the year out the window is.
And for a team that we like to compare all the time with the Eagles, it's like, guys, Howie Roseman's never going to do that. Howie Roseman's always going to try to win.
No, because Howie Roseman never put himself in the position the Browns put themselves in with the Deshaun Watson contract.
But he never would have done the thing. And I got to check all the stats here and all the records. He never would have done the thing that they did in 16 and 17. He wouldn't have done that. So if we're comparing ourselves to the Super Bowl champions, which is a wild comparison, but we did have people work
sure
there,
is.
You're not doing what they do. Again, he takes advantage. He had veterans. He drafted veterans, guys who can police the locker room. But if the organization, if I don't know what your identity is, I'm sure a lot of players don't know what the identity is, and then it gets harder to pick each other up if things don't go your way. And that's what's happened. And the Browns aren't the only team. There's several teams like the Browns, but that's been a problem for 25 years. Not even during the learner years, that was a problem. We spend so much time being smarter than everybody else. It's like, man, you really just got to look in the mirror here and say, what are we about? What are we going to do? Instead of, well, you see, we'll win in 26 and 27. Okay, sounds like a plan, but are you going to be able to execute?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get the picks and make the right guys?
That's the probably not, but that's the plan.
Oh.
Because they've shown time and time again they don't do that well.
So what he says about the quarterbacks, I still got to hold somebody accountable and say, hey, guys, you got to try to win. Name of the game is winning. And it's not about, honestly, it's not even about like a witch hunt of Kevin Stefanski or even Andrew Berry and, well, what were you responsible for and what were you not? It's like, hey, you know, you guys, if you go out and win some games, it's indefensible to fire you. You understand that, right? Like, if you go out and you win three games, they can say anything they want. Hey, you won three games last year, won three games this year. Yeah, but we were on this plan. I don't care if we were on this plan. Right. Fans are upset. You're gone. Goodbye.
It's a results
but
thing.
If you go out and you win nine games this year, when everybody thinks you're not going to win nine games, or even seven games, or even five games for a lot of people, you make it indefensible to fire you. I don't understand why the objective isn't always winning.
What's that number? What is that number this year
seven.
For it to be indefensible?
I said seven. I said seven. Yeah, if you go from three wins to seven wins, you got a third-round rookie, you got a fifth-round rookie, and I guess I have to put the rounds on them right now. But you have two rookies that were not day-one rookies. Those guys will eventually play when, I'm not sure, ain't going to be week one. As of right now, Dylan's going to play before the other one. That's don't blame me. That's the Browns, guys.
He has a name, Shador.
Well, sorry. Every time I go from one to the other, and I go Shador and the other one, or Dylan. I do the same thing with my kids, guys. I got three kids. I do the same thing with them. I'll do the same thing with the quarterbacks. I got the old one. I got this one with small hands or whatever. I got the one that's not the tallest, and that's Jonah. And then I got Shador. There you go. What? What are you looking at me like that in there for?
Seeing how far you're going to dig this hole.
Not a hole. Joe Flacco's too old to be my son. He's older than me. Kenny Pickett is old enough to be my younger brother. We're getting to the point now. Shador and Dylan are young enough to be my sons.
Getting close.
38.
Shador's 23.
23?
Right.
38. 15 years old and is old enough to father a child. I don't know if it's old enough to be a daddy, but that's a totally different conversation for Camaro tonight today at 1 on Fox 8. For Shador, okay, for these two rookies, where was I going with this? See, you got me going on a totally different direction. What the hell did you get me going on with this?
You got yourself going there.
If you make it always about winning, and you can win seven games, then I can defend everything. I can defend, because if you win seven games, guys, Andrew Berry's draft picks had to play well. DeJuan Jones had to play well over at left tackle as a fourth-round pick, and that means you got a hell of an athlete because he was a pretty good right tackle, and hell, he was a... apparently overweight over at right tackle. And he's been fantastic in camp so far over at left tackle, and everybody knows I love that young man. Your Quinshon Judkins will have had to run well. Harold Fannin Jr., because let's be honest, David is a physical specimen, but David is often hurt and doesn't really finish seasons at 17 games. Harold Fannin Jr. will have had to step up. My Mason Graham, who's our number one first-round pick, number five overall, who we never talk about, he will have had to help out defensively, and you're going to have those picks. He's been around for 6 years. That means that his picks will have had to played well. For Kevin, we're going to go back to his system. It's going to be more ball control oriented. It's going to be more 12 personnel oriented. That means they will have to have an efficient offense. All right, so those things are there. I can make a defense of you. You win three games. The only thing I can say is, well, you know, we want to have some consistency there. And people will call in and go, Ken, consistently bad. When it comes to the other guy, I groan because if he plays this year.
I can't do it.
And Shador ain't the other guy. And Dylan and Joe and Kenny ain't the other guy.
Who's
in this
the other
scenario.
Guy? Who's the other guy,
you
Ken?
You know who the other guy
who's
is.
Who's the other guy?
You know who the other guy is. You know damn well who the other guy is.
I do.
If that guy comes in, the season's already gone.
Yes.
The season's already gone. They can't, there's a contract there. They can't deny him coming in. He can't badmouth them. We'll see what they do. I don't groan because of him. The season will already be done.
If he is playing football, I'm not watching. I am not watching him play football anymore.
That's why I groan.
I am not watching
that's
him play football.
Guys, to argue about Shador Sanders. Whether or not his dad's there or his dad's not there, It's more fun. It's more exciting. I want to see what he can do. I want to see if this guy can really rip it.
Me too.
I want to see if Dylan Gabriel at 5'10 can really rip it, which I know you guys are saying I'm being generous with the 5'10. I want to see. I'm excited about those guys. Okay, maybe Kenny Pickett and his aunt can prove me wrong.
I doubt it.
Maybe they can do it. Deontay Johnson says he throws a good ball. Says he can spin it.
Only when it's warm out.
I want to talk about those guys. I know what happens when they play Deshaun Watson. You guys go click, and that's it. That's it.
I'm not watching Deshaun Watson play football,
we're trying to
I'm
move.
Done. I'm done with that.
There you go.
I've seen enough
this
of
that.
This
is a guy who covers basketball
I know what
primarily.
It is. I know what that is. I'm not spending 3 hours in a Sunday watching Deshaun Watson play football ever again.
That's why I groan. If they play him, the season's done. I'll just watch what happens and see what happens. I don't think much is going to happen of it, and that's the way it's going to go, and that's the way it would end. But when it comes to you guys on there, it's like, oh my God. You just go back to the doldrums of what they were. And you have an organization that, while I'm not clear about what their goals are this year, they're clearly trying to move forward into a brighter phase of what they could possibly be. When you have the two first-round picks, when you do have two young rookies who they each have their little peccadillos, they each have their high sides as well, their upsides as well. When you have Myles Garrett now signed for the next couple of or next 5 years, when you have some of the young guys, you're trying to move forward. We're talking about new stadiums and things like that. We are trying to move forward in a brighter direction where the sun is shining, and you don't want to move backwards.
Mm-mm.
And the fans, they will just think of this as more the same that they've been dealing with for 3 years, and they ain't gonna like it. And I don't want to hear it. I don't want them to have to deal with it. And so, yeah, man, if he's healthy, he's more than has the right to claim that he's healthy to go, and we'll see if they put him out there.
He can claim that he's healthy all they want. They don't have to play him.
I think
Watson playing for the Browns this year would be more of a fireable offense for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry than any win total could be.
I don't think they can say that.
No, they can't, but I can.
You can. You could always make the decision if you have another quarterback on the roster, that guy is more ready to play.
Yes, and that's what the decision always should be. I don't care who the other quarterback is, but I know it can't be that guy. I know it can't.
Jim Correo. Twitter reaction is brought to you by Shive and Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Jim is a guy who's tweeted us for years, and I've always said, like, everything's fine, because he says everything's fine. Overreaction. You guys overreact. Jim says, I think the Florio comments sting you, Ken, because you know that they're true. You repeatedly say you don't trust the people making the picks, so you don't trust them to make the smart decisions. The truth hurts, man. Someday the cycle will be broken, maybe. Yeah, fair enough.
Can't do it. Cannot do it.
You really ain't gonna watch the Browns if he plays again?
If they are on red zone? When the other team's in the red zone, because the Browns ain't getting in the red zone with him, I'll have the red zone channel on.
That's irresponsible of you as a host. Actually, no, it might be more entertaining if Danny comes in here on a cold, near winter morning and goes, I didn't watch.
Yeah.
I won't watch. That'd be some wild stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd be yelling at you.
That'd be better than arguing about him.
I'd be saying you didn't do your job. You think of that.
Do I get paid to watch Deshaun Watson play football?
No, you get paid to talk to me.
Yeah.
But, in your defense, not well.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.